couple weeks ago, I shared with the church family three goals that the church has. And I want to review the goals for 2022. And here they are. First of all, it was the growth of the church. God wants us to grow individually to become stronger, but then he wants to grow the numbers of the church. You know why? He loves people. There's two things that will last for all eternity. One is God's word. It endures forever. The second thing is people. Think about it. We are made with a soul that lives forever. There's a heaven and a hell. And the grace of God says, hey, I just love people. I want to help them in their earthly journey. So goal number one is just to grow. Number two, make disciples of all nations. And we have this amazing goal, and Deb talked about it. 40-year period. It concludes in 2061, although I think we'll get there before that. We want to touch every nation in the world. There's 195. And we want to send at least $500 or a ministry equivalent to every country in the world in terms of doing ministry. And we want to be a church that follows through on what Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. We just want to have a small part. I think that's exciting that a small rural church in upstate New York can be a part of that. Goal number three, we want to bless the community with the pavilion and work toward the family center. Now, the pavilion, here's a picture of it. Have Darlene put it up. So this summer, when the weather gets good, hopefully April, May, we're going to push forward on that. And by summer, we should have this thing up. And that's exciting. You, the church family, you know, you've given toward it financially. We're ready to move on it. So that's going to be up above the basketball court. We'll have a great outdoor pavilion. We'll use it, but so will the community. And here's the other part of number three. This is the family center that we've talked about actually for years. And I want to give you an update on something. In a recent board Zoom meeting, we talked about this, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a video made, probably three and a half minutes, of what the inside of the building will look like. I currently serve on a UHS board, and they are doing an addition to Wilson and the emergency department, and that's where the idea came from. We watched a video of what it looks like on the inside. I said, wow, we've got to do that for ours. And so our architect is going to put that together. It'll take him a few weeks, but it'll show, give a visual of what the inside will be, how it'll be used, and what it'll look like. So things are moving, and one step at a time, but we're going to just continue moving toward that to fulfill the vision that God has given us, this building right here behind the church. Okay, so those are our goals. Well, what I want to do is begin a series on goal number one. It's called Growth of the Church. And so the next few weeks, I'm going to be talking about this thing called growth and what God can do with people when we allow him to take the lead, when we give him the preeminence of the Holy Spirit's leading in our life. Now, in your notes, there's a verse. And I want us to read that verse together, and Darlene can put it on the screen as well. Let's read it. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. We take action as a church, as well as in an individual life, based on the promises that God plants in our hearts. Now, this is a verse that many of us here in the church, or some of us, have latched onto, felt like God spoke to us, that the least of you can become a thousand. I mean, it's an amazing promise, the smallest mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I'll do this swiftly. And so I want to talk about how God can use the least of us today. But in your notes, I've got a couple definitions. First of all, growth. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. I want you to circle the word build. It means to build a house. It means to make something sturdy. I want you to know that God wants to make your life sturdy. What do I mean by that? He wants you to be anchored and rooted in your faith in such a way that you are a sturdy representative of the kingdom wherever you go. And so this whole building the church, Jesus wants to do it individually as well as to bring new people in. Now here's a fill in the blank. It says this, Jesus will build you up to help bring others in. In other words, he will make you sturdy, you become mature and grow in your faith, and then you will be used by God to help bring others in. Here's a verse. Let's read it together. Let's read it. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. He wants to do something in your life that you become anchored and strong and sturdy in your own spiritual journey. But I want to show you a picture. Here's the next slide. This represents the people you have in your life. It's your sphere of influence. Everybody's got them. See all the spokes, the lines. Those are the people you know. And you know what God wants to do through your life? He wants to help bring other people into the faith through your life. After all, he wants a sturdy, mature you. And so when Jesus said, I will build my church, wow, he just loves people. I can't underestimate or understate that. You see, the Bible is all about people. It's all about people. And he loves people, and we're going to talk about that today. So, Jesus will build you up to help bring others in. Well, here's another small definition. The word least. The word least. It means the smallest in amount, extent, or significance. You know, we use that word least a lot. You know, and today we're going to kind of bear down on what the word least means in the Bible. So when Isaiah says the least of you, he's saying the smallest in amount or people who feel insignificant, I can make you into a thousand. God has a multiplying blessing upon people. When we give him that right away of our life, he can take what is the least and he can turn it into a large number and a blessing. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to talk about three truths about what it means when we talk about the least, okay? Three truths, and you can follow along in your sermon listening guide. Number one, the first point is this. God loves the least. He values the people who are the least in our world. Now, in this story, Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about the end of the world, and he's rewarding people for what they've done in serving others. And so read with me this text, and then we'll talk about it. Let's read it. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you. The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. I want you to circle the word least in that bottom verse. I mean, he talks about a reward that will go out to people that have been serving others, and he says this, if you have done it unto the least, the smallest, the most insignificant, you have done it unto me. And so when we think of the word least, understand God loves the least. You might feel like you're the least this morning. You know, we all have this, we all struggle with self-esteem. I'm not as good as my brother or sister. I can't play basketball like this person or that person. We compare ourselves and get ourselves in trouble. And so we sometimes feel like the least, do we not? But I want us to understand, regardless how small or insignificant a person may be in this lifetime, God loves us. I got three pictures I want you to see about the least. Here's the first one. God loves that person. They may have messed up big time, but he says, hey, when I was in prison or they were in prison, you came to visit them. If you did it for them, you did it for me, Jesus said. Here's another one. The person on the street that we drive past maybe made bad decisions. Maybe they have deep mental health issues. Maybe there's a lot of things. But if you've done something for that person, you've done it for me because I love them. Here's another one. He says, if you saw somebody hungry and you fed them, there's plenty of people in the world that are hungry today. You've done it to the least of these. You've done it unto me. So I want us to understand, God loves the least of us, the smallest and the most insignificant. And so that's our first point. Boy, God just has a passion for people who might be considered the least. Point number two in your notes. And this is my favorite point of the message, okay? Here it is. God sees potential in people that consider themselves the least. He sees something in people that are the least that maybe the rest of us do not see. There's a story in the book of Judges about Gideon, and the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is Jesus. It's a theophany, and the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon, and he gives him some instruction of what he wants to do with Gideon's life. And we're going to read these two paragraphs, and then we'll talk about it. Let's read it. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Gideon is a farmer, a thresher of wheat, a simple life. The angel of the Lord Jesus appears to him, and he says this, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Let me stop there. God calls Gideon a mighty warrior. Let me tell you, God saw something in Gideon that Gideon did not see in himself. This is what potential is. Potential is pulling out of what is hidden in you. It is what you can do, but what you haven't yet done. It is untapped power. It is hidden strength. What you've already accomplished in life is no longer potential. It is past tense. You may have achieved something great in your life. That's wonderful. It's no longer potential. It's over. What is potential is what you have not yet done. And it's what is hidden inside you. Now, Gideon had a little bit of a complex about who he thought he was. And this is how he responded. He says, "But Lord, how can I save Israel? How can I be a mighty warrior?" I mean, he didn't say that, but he says, "How can I save Israel? My clan, get this, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the what? The least in my family." Circle the word least. You might be here this morning, and you consider yourself the least in your family. Or you say you are the weakest. There may be different reasons for that. And it's the way we're brought up. It's how we view ourselves, and we compare ourselves, and we feel like we're the weakest or the least. There's not much to us. That's how Gideon felt. Yet God saw something in Gideon that Gideon did not see in himself. And I would suggest, can't verify this, but I would think his parents, if they were alive, probably did not see in Gideon what God saw. I mean, potential is potential. It is something that, it's the potential principle. Miles Monroe, in his book, Understanding Your Potential, he says, it's what's in you, but it has not yet come out. You see, you never know what God will speak into your life in a service like this, or sometime during the week when you're just doing your business, and he taps on the door of your heart. He drops a thought in it, and he says, "You know what? I have this plan for your life. I want you to do this or become this." And we say, "There's no way I can do it. I'm the weakest, and I'm the least." And so Gideon started pushing back with his sense of smallness. He pushed back with, "I'm insignificant." It's a self-esteem deal. And he says, "There's no way I can do this. You know why? I'm the weakest and I'm the least." I want to show you a slide of how God views your life. When he looks at you, he sees your potential. The needle on that meter is maximum. He sees something in you that maybe your husband, wife, maybe your parents, brothers, sisters, they don't see it in you. But he sees something in all of us that we don't see in ourselves. And he sees us, that needle way up there of what we're able to do. I came across a statement that I thought was so insightful. And it's by Mary Kay, and here it is. "Everyone has an invisible sign hanging from their neck saying, 'Make me feel important.' Never forget this message when working with people." I think it's true, is it not? Don't ever forget that. The people you run into this week have an invisible sign around their neck. It says, "Make me feel important." I think Gideon wore that sign. He said, "I'm the weakest and I'm the least." And I think there's a lot of truth to it. You and I wear this sign as well, don't we? Make me feel important. Why? I'm small. I'm insignificant. There's not much to me. I don't have that many talents. I don't feel I'm gifted like the other person. And I can just do this. And we feel insignificant in life. And that's how Gideon felt. But I want you to get a hold of one simple thought from this point. It's this. God sees potential in you that you do not even see in yourself. He sees untapped power. He sees your life being used to be a mighty warrior in some area. Think of that. He calls you a mighty warrior. You say, well, not me. I'm the weakest in the least. But he sees your potential, and he looks past the sign. Make me feel important. So I want us to understand, God looks at your life completely different than maybe other people do. And he sees something in you. And like with Gideon, he says, Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. I've got plans for you. Now, our job is to listen for his voice, for him to speak into our hearts what the assignment is. People want to know what they're built for, what they're made to do in this life. That's what we're all hungry for. It's our destiny. It's who we were birthed to perform or to fulfill. It's who God has planned, what he's planned for us. And so be encouraged that there's something inside you that God can pull out, tease out. He can just say, I want to use you in a mighty way. And he can pull that potential out of us just like he did Gideon. So point number one, wow, God loves the least. Number two, God sees potential in people who consider themselves the least, even us. Let's go to number three. The third point I want to share about the least is this. God uses the least. I mean, he uses people that feel like they're the weakest or the least link in their family. Now, one of the greatest examples is in the New Testament. When Paul, as you know, Saul was, he was a mean guy. He had Christians put to death. He persecuted them. He was just mean. He was not a nice guy. And all of a sudden, Jesus got a hold of his heart on the road to Damascus, and his life changed. And these verses he writes afterwards, let's read the first two paragraphs. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Now, I want you to catch a couple of insights. Ephesians 3:8, Paul says, I am less than the least. I mean, he's going further down on the scale. You know why? He murdered people or agreed to it. He was just not a nice guy. And he says, I am less than the least of all of God's people. But grace was given to me. Now, here's the second verse. I love this one, 1 Timothy 1:15. He says this, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am what? The chief. Do you ever think you're the chief sinner in life? You may have a past that is very dark. Paul had a past that was not stellar. It was terrible. And he says, I'm the chief. When it comes to sinners, I'm it. So if you feel like you're a bad sinner, you're somewhere under him because he said he's the chief. Now, listen, I want you to catch this. Paul got his heart right with God. It's by grace. And his past, listen, his past was defined by the blood of Christ and he found forgiveness. And his future was defined by grace and his potential was unlocked. And he was not a good guy. So what does God do? He takes somebody like Paul and writes a good chunk of the New Testament through him. We read it all the time. It was Paul, the guy with the wicked past, that was the chief of all sinners. He was less than the least. He's the one God is now using. You may be here today, and one of your biggest hang-ups is your past. Things you have done, things you're embarrassed about, things that are humiliating, you regret, Things that, wow, you just wish you it wasn't there, but it is. Paul had the same scenario. And what he did, here's the insight, he allowed grace to define his past, such as Paul did. What did that do? The blood of Christ. I found forgiveness. I've dealt with it. I don't like it. It's ugly. It's dark. I'm embarrassed by it, but I'm letting grace define my past. And then he got free of it. And when he got free of it, his potential going forward was unlocked. And God greatly used him. See, if Paul's the chief of sinners, we all fall in there somewhere. We all have stuff in our past that has to be forgiven. It could be a whole bunch or a little bunch, but it's stuff that has to be forgiven. Here's the secret. Listen closely. God uses the least of us, including Paul, including us. And I want you to know, if you and I allow grace to define the bad stuff, we get it under the blood, we confess it, we deal with it, we let it go, we say, yeah, it's there, but I'm gonna believe God's word more than the guilt and the shame. And then we allow grace to define our future. God, what have you got for me? You set me free from the truckload of stuff. What have you got for me going forward that I can serve you? You can use me. What can you do through my life? But it's all about grace defining our past, our present, and our future, just like Paul. So Paul said, I'm less than the least, and I'm the chief of sinners. I want you to read with me 2 Corinthians 5:20 in your notes. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So here's what God did with Paul's life. He was just a dark, mean, bad guy. God forgave him, got a hold of his heart. And then Paul's now saying, wait a minute, I am Christ's ambassador. I'm going to go out and share the message of grace with other people. And it says, as though Christ were making his appeal through me, I'm just going to tell people, hey, get your hearts right with God. Be reconciled to him because God loves the least. Got a slide I want you to look at. The people God chooses are often unlikely, but God is never wrong. I want you to absorb that. Unlikely, but never wrong. Paul was one of those candidates. I would not have handed him the assignment to write most or a good chunk of the New Testament. He just had a bad past. God picked him as an unlikely candidate. God was never wrong. How about a little boy who was a shepherd, the youngest of 8 kids, and they're looking for a king in Israel, and the father, the priest goes, starts with the oldest and goes right down through the first 7, and Samuel says, no, it's none of these. Do you have any other sons? And the father says, yeah, I got one more. He's tending sheep. His name is David, and he says, bring him to me, and the prophet said, he is the one that will be the new king of Israel. He was unlikely, but God is never wrong. How about this? There was a young boy that grew up on a farm, and God picked him. His name's Billy Graham. And he raised him up as a farm boy, sent him all over the world to preach to people, millions and millions of people, one of the greatest evangelists of all time. He was unlikely. He was a farm boy. But God is never wrong. The list goes on and on. You are sitting here today and you're saying, hey, I feel like I'm the least. I feel like Gideon. What do I have? I mean, I'm the weakest. I'm not much. God's saying, wait a minute. You may be unlikely to our own human eyes or to somebody else. Let me tell you, But God is never wrong. And he called Gideon a mighty warrior. You're a warrior in the making. You may not even realize it. You hadn't thought about that. You don't know what kind of call God will put in your heart. In the remainder of this service, the Holy Spirit could speak to you and say, I want you to do this going forward. And you're going to say, wait a minute. I feel so insecure. I don't think that's me, God. God says, oh, yes, it is. You may be unlikely, but God is never wrong. So three simple thoughts about the least. God has great passion for the least of us. Number two, he sees potential in each of us that consider ourselves the least. Number three, God uses people who are the least, just like Paul. As we conclude, I want us to read this verse again. Let's read it. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. I want to talk about us as a church. We're in upstate New York. We're in a small rural area. Not a lot of people, about 3,000 people in the village, and we say we feel like we're the least. But I want you to know, God can choose the least to do mighty things. Here's a slide I want to, Darlene, have her put up. Inside every seed is the potential for an incredible harvest. You can cut open an apple, and you can count the number of seeds in it. But what you cannot do is take a seed and know how many apples are in it. In other words, the seed has untapped potential. It has something that we cannot see. It is hidden. It's something within it, but we just don't know what it can become. And God says, inside every seed is the potential for an incredible harvest. And here's the last slide. God uses unlikely people in unlikely places to do extraordinary things. You may be here today and you're the unlikely people because you always see yourself as the least. We're in an unlikely place. We're hidden away. We feel small. Let me tell you, we are ripe for God to come in and do a great work. And he says to do extraordinary things. I'm excited about 2022. I mean, there's just good things on the horizon. And when the people of God listen to his voice individually and collectively, he does amazing things through us. Who knows what he can do even this year and in the year coming. But the least of us can become a thousand because he's the multiplier to do extraordinary things in our midst. But it all takes, it starts with us saying, okay, God, I got to get past my leastness and have a faith that there's a God who loves me, sees my potential, and believe that he can use us even though we feel like we are the least. I want to close in prayer, and I want you just to open your heart to God and say, God, here I am. What do you have for me today? What are you speaking? You're like Gideon, and he wants to step into your life this morning and speak something to it, and he says, you're a mighty warrior. Isn't that just way cool? I have a purpose for you that you may not even realize at this point, but it's there because I'm God, I made you, and it's untapped, it's hidden, it's down there, and he'll call it forth. It's called potential. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're here this morning in great presence and power. And we confess to you, I confess, I often feel like the least. Lord, we're just not big enough, strong enough, fast enough, smart enough, good-looking enough, whatever it is. Lord, we're just who we are. We're regular people. Forgive us, Father, for discounting ourselves. And I pray for every person here and everybody listening online that we will open our heart to you because you love the least of us. And Father, I pray a deliberate prayer for everyone here today. Here's what it is. Lord, call forth the untapped potential in each person's life here today. They're a mighty warrior. Lord, just call that forth. Just draw it out of them. Just kind of somehow make it clear what your assignment is for every person listening online and here this morning in this sanctuary. And then, Father, I pray you'll use us. I mean, Paul got past a whole bunch of junk and stuff and sin in his life, and you used him in a mighty way. Use us like that. Make 2022 the best year of our life. Make it dynamic. Make it powerful. Make it moving. Make it exciting. Make it just something we want. We look forward to week, all because you can take us, unlikely people, in an unlikely place and can do extraordinary things. Father, I pray that every person here will allow grace to define their past. Lord, whatever the past is, forgive us. We pray you'll cleanse us, make us whole, make us different, just like Saul became Paul. Make us a new creation in Christ. And I pray that grace will define our futures of what we can become because you're an amazing God living in us. So, Father, we commit the entire year to you. We commit today to you and pray that your Spirit will just speak to each of our hearts to move us closer or move us into that personal relationship with you that can be the game-changing experience of our life because of your goodness and you loving the least. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.